Today is Father's Day, so what better way to spend it than to listen to a dad and his sons making music together? Kolan Phil Karan is 85 years old, and over the course of a long career as an avant-garde jazz artist, he has performed with everyone, from Sun Ra and Jay McShann to Big Mama Thornton and Sarah Vaughan. He has toured the world and taught music in schools and prison, and he has passed along his musical genes to a bunch of his kids. 8 of his sons form the heart of a group called the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble has toured with the likes of the B-52s, Mos Def, and Gorillaz. On their latest CD, they're collaborating with their old man, Kolan Phil Karan, and we are joined from member station WBEZ in Chicago by Mr. Karan and his son, Saif Graves, who plays sea trombone on the album. Thanks to both of you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
it's a pleasure.
And happy Father's Day, Mr. Karan.
Yes, thank you. Very kind.
If I can start with you, I know that you have played with your sons off and on over the years, but yes. I understand this is your fullest collaboration to date. Is that correct?
Yes, we they all came up together, and we performed here in the Chicago area as Phil Karan and the Youth Ensemble. But they grew up, and then they sought their own destiny.
All of us were taught by our father. He's our musical teacher, as well as our dad. And the system that we learned was about the purity of tone and notes. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the compositions we were playing outside were original and written by us collectively, not one, not two, but all of us. Mm-hmm. And so it was just what we like to refer to as now music. As you take the experiences, the thoughts, and the energy of the day and the current moment and put it into the song.
Hmm. And Saif, you say your dad was your teacher. You grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I understand that you had a lot of rehearsal time. I mean, your dad was kind of a taskmaster. Did he really insist on you all taking music lessons for hours before school and after school?
I think it was totally necessary.
Are you just saying that because your dad is sitting right there?
No, I have to be honest and say, like, as the musician, as the student, when we were children, we didn't like or understand the need for so much practice and rehearsal. But now, there's no horn players in the world touching our sound and what we can create because we spent all that time working at it.
Did you have to corral them, Mr. Karan? Did they come willingly, or was it tough?
No, I got them before they woke up. So.
I mentioned in my introduction, Mr. Karan, that you used to teach music in prisons.
Oh, yeah. I taught 3 years at Pontiac, and then I got in Stateville, what they call the big house.
There's a tune called Stateville on this album. Let's take a listen to that.
When I hear that, I think about what stimulated that song was that at Stateville, there's a big curve coming around the ridge going to Stateville, and the first thing you see is this huge green tower sticking up like a transformer or something, you know, and it was ominous. So that's what I could see the song depicting, that feeling of coming around the curve. And realizing that there were a lot of teenage boys there who had only been in the wrong car, in the wrong place, and got time in the big house.
So how would you define hypnotic brass music?
Hypnotic brass music is a mixture. What we do is take rock, jazz, soul, hip-hop, and the better elements of all of these different genres and try to mix it into just one feeling. And every song is just a feeling. So,
and what's it like to play with your brothers? Each of you have gone off and, you know, lived your own life and had your own set of experiences. I imagine you bring that to bear on the music and the songwriting process.
Oh, yes. I have to say it's just as amazing as it is hard. Mm-hmm. I invite everybody out there to think of your siblings and imagine, like, being in a group with them, touring and in the hotel, on the plane together, on
it's
the show.
It's a lot of quality time.
Yeah, a lot of love. That's all.
They've been playing since they were 5, and one started at 3.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. And is there a healthy sense of competition, or are you guys just over that
yes,
now?
Healthy sense of competition is a great way to put it, because that's exactly what keeps us. It's like a fire that we light under each other. It's even to the point of you can't play one bad note, and we're checking each other on it and always trying to be the best and become better.
There is this mesmerizing quality to a lot of these compositions. And I'm thinking specifically of the track Ancestral, which is characterized in the liner notes as this kind of meditative drone. The band is all horns and a set of drums. Is that limiting or liberating?
No, it's neither one, you know, it's expression. See, first of all, the mind, the spirit of the person that's playing is the prime foundation that you work with. It's not the difference in the instruments, but it's the difference in the person's mind and heart. And so you have a lot of great spirits playing this music.
Mr. Koran, you wrote the track Apsara back in 1967. Why, of all of your hundreds of compositions, why was it important to you to include it on this album, your most recent work?
Well, we like to do odd meter things, and Apsara is a 7/4 tune. So we like to do odd meters. They have a little bit more juice.
Saif, what do you like about playing that song?
We listen to this music as kids, so it means so much for us to just play it and to be able to hear it live. Like, you know, this is music that we is still ringing in our heads. We can sing the melodies, although it's been like 20 years.
Studio and you finished tracking a version of Apsara, and you're sitting there with your brothers and your dad, and you just hit that last note, and you know you just nailed it, and it was hard. What's that like? You kind of look around, and you're doing this with your family.
Well, we never really agree, like, yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the process, too, is sitting there all still analyzing, yeah, and this part and that note. Like, we're so critical and breaking down the music and putting it back together because we just want it to be perfect and right to the right point. And this being our father's music, we even more want to get it sharp.
What about you, Mr. Koran? You must be pretty proud.
Oh, yes. I've told people. There's a millionaire, a multi-millionaire in Mexico who is supposed to be the richest man in the world. And I tell everyone, I feel like I'm on his level because I have sons who are productive and I have daughters who are productive.
And you would have been fine if none of them had gone into music? It's just an added bonus that they did?
No, I wouldn't have been fine. I'm not going to lie.
Well, happy Father's Day, Mr. Koran.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks you too so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Elaine Heinzman and produced by Peter Breslow, Ned Wharton, Chris Benderev, Tom Dreisbach, Rebecca Hersher, Becky Sullivan, and Ramona Martinez. Our new interns are Devin Codgis and Alan Yu. Barry Hardiman and Jeffrey Bennett edit the program. Tom Bullock produced today's show. Our technical director is Burke Hun, assisted by Sean Phillips. Our librarian is Key Molesky, and our web producer is Stephanie Federico. Our senior editor is Sarah Gilbert. Sarah Lucy Oliver is our supervising producer, and the senior supervising producer of Weekend Edition is Bridget Kelly. And finally, I'd like to wish all the dads out there a happy Father's Day, including my husband Luke, who is a father-to-be. This is my last show for a while. I'm taking some time off for maternity leave. David Green and Linda Wertheimer will be sitting in the host chair while I'm away, but I'll be back in late September. Until then, have a great summer. I'm Rachel Martin.